الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, all of us enjoy rights in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us rights over others, and others also enjoy rights over us. And this is the justice in Islam. And when people are given their rights, and when rights are fulfilled, then this creates unity, muhabbat, peace. And then the deen is strengthened. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, لِلْمُؤْمِنِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ سِتُّ خِصَالٍ. A believer enjoys six rights over his Muslim brother, over another believer. So a believer enjoys six rights over another believer. And these rights that have been mentioned, they are very basic. And this is the wadil, so easy, so simple, so beautiful. You and I normally think of some very big rights. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned simple things. And alhamdulillah, many of us do practice, but many times we forget. Or sometimes we become complacent, negligent. What are these rights? يَعُودُهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ. The first one, that when your believer, your Muslim brother or sister is sick, then one has to visit the patient. And of course, this subject matter on its own is a very detailed, lengthy subject matter. So when the person is sick, he has the right that his fellow Muslim brothers and sisters should visit him. And of course, we are now talking about where it is permissible for the person to go there. We're not talking about where it's not your mahram and things like that. But of course, when the person is not your mahram, you can make dua for the person. And then, when the person passes away, then he joins his janaza. يَشْهَدُهُ إِذَا مَاتَ. He joins the funeral. He attends the janazah salat, he goes to the qabristan. So these are rights that the believer has over the other believers. وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَى. When he invites him, then he should accept the invitation. And of course, all of these, there are many masail attached to these rights. And in the Jummah talk, it's impossible to give a detailed analysis of all the masail. When you're Muslim brother, or if you're invited, then you should accept the invitation. If you reject his invitation, you will cause him harm. You will cause him hurt. And of course, if the person is not of, or his wealth, his money, the food that he has is doubtful, in their ways, their manners of excusing yourself. The point here is, when the person invites you, you should not just reject his invitation. Then يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا لَقِيَ. When he meets him, then he should be greeted. So when you meet your Muslim brother, you should greet the person. وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَطِسَ. When he sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, then you have to give jawab and you have to say, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. So when your Muslim brother sneezes, and if he says, Alhamdulillah, then it becomes his right over you that you should now make a dua for him and say, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. Why? Because he has praised you, Allah. When he sneezed, he said, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody praises you, Allah, you should become happy and you should give that person dua. What do you say? يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. May Allah have mercy upon you. And of course, then in turn, he will give you a dua also. But in this hadith, that when he sneezed and he said Alhamdulillah, that's the important thing. If he does not say Alhamdulillah, then he has no right over you. When he sneezes and he says Alhamdulillah, then you have to give jawab and you have to say Yarhamukallah. This is his right over you. And yansahuhu idha ghaba aw shahida. Whether he is present in the town or he is on a journey, is absent, is not with you, in both cases you should be his well-wisher. You should be polite, courteous, mindful, helpful with regards to his property, to his family. You should be caring. It doesn't mean only when he's there, then you are being his friend, and when he's absent, then you don't care about him. So these six qualities have been mentioned, these six rights have been mentioned in the hadith. But today we're going to concentrate on the aspect of salam. Because many of us, myself included, we tend to become negligent when it comes to making salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. That you will not enter Jannah until you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all understand that without iman you can't enter Jannah. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You don't have complete and perfect iman until you love one another. So one has to show love to his fellow brethren. He has to show muhabbat. And that is a sign of a true iman. And when one has and possesses that true iman, then he gains entry into paradise. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning this, immediately he shows us the manner in which we could create this muhabbat amongst ourselves. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not show you something that if you do it, you will engender, you will create amongst yourselves muhabbat for one another. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread salam amongst yourselves. When a person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what is he actually implying? What is he saying? Remember, salam, as-salam is a sifat, it is a quality, it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means the giver of peace, the owner of peace, the bestower of peace. So when you are saying, Assalamu alaikum, then you are informing your brother that you are now safe from any injury or harm from my side. Rest assured, I will not harm you. I am invoking the blessings of Allah, His peace upon you. And therefore he in return will say, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And upon you there must be peace also, and Allah's mercy. So Rasulullah says that afshu salama baynakum, spread salam amongst yourselves. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, he was a Jewish rabbi before accepting Islam. And when he accepted Islam, he was in Medina Munawwara. And he says, when I saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed face, I realized that this was the face of a genuine Nabi of Allah. He was not an imposter. He was not a liar. He was not a kazzab. He was not a false prophet. He was a genuine Nabi of Allah. And then he sees the very first message, the very first advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he shared, and which I heard upon his entry into Medina when he gathered the Sahaba, the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, spread salam. So from this we can understand that salam creates peace and muhabbat. We know the Aws and Khazraj tribes who were in Medina, and of course they were then the Ansar. Before Islam, they used to go on, and they used to have wars with one another, fighting all the time, quarreling. Islam brought peace, cemented their hearts, and therefore Rasulullah tells them to strengthen that unity and muhabbat, afshu salam, make salam widespread. Wa at'imu ta'am, and feed. Feed the guests, feed the poor, feed the needy. Wasilu al-arham, and join ties. Now can we understand? See from these words, what is Rasulullah doing? Creating brotherhood, unity. And then the fourth advice it gave, wasallu bil-layl wa nasu niyam, perform tahajjud salat at night when everybody else is asleep. And therefore when one sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ayyul islami khairun. There are so many good qualities, every quality in Islam is so beautiful. But Ya Rasulullah, show me something which is afdal or best. Rasulullah at that particular occasion, he gives him two answers. He says, at'imu ta'am, feed, be generous, feed the poor, the needy, and make salam ala man arafta wa man lam ta'arif. Make salam to those who you know and also those who you do not know. In other words, you do not make salam only to your friends, but you make salam to every single Muslim person. Ala man arafta wa man lam ta'arif. Whether you know the person or not, it is his right over you that you should make salam to him. Now, what is our condition? Generally, we make salam to only those who we know. May Allah Ta'ala give us these beautiful qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These simple teachings of Islam, may Allah Ta'ala help us to bring it into our lives. We may have huge conventions and discuss how can the Muslim be united. But these are the basic guidelines to create that unity. Tufayl rahmatullahi alayhi was a tabi'i. And he says, I used to visit Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And every time I go and visit him, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala takes me to the marketplace. And I observed that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala doesn't do any business there. No bargaining, no asking any price, nothing. Yes, he goes past every person and makes salam. So once when I went to visit him, Abdullah bin Umar invited me to join him and go to the market. So I said, oh Abdullah bin Umar, you don't know anything about buying and selling. You got no intention to purchase or sell anything. Let's just sit here and we'll discuss and we'll talk here at home. Why must we go all the way to the marketplace? So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala addressed me, Ya Aba Batan. Batan in Arabic means stomach. In other words, he called him a fatty, a tubby, because Tufail rahmatullah had a nice round stomach. So he said, Innama naghdu. The only reason why we go to the bazaar, min ajli salam, so that we can make salam to every person there. He used to go to the marketplace just to make salam to every vendor, to every shopkeeper, any person he would meet on the street. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala understood the value, the blessings of making salam, the rewards Allah has فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Nur, when you enter your homes, then make salam upon yourselves. Make salam to your family. تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبَةً. This greeting of salam, which has been taught to Adam alayhi salatu salam, when Allah created him, Allah tells him that go to those angels sitting there and say, Assalamu alaikum, and listen attentively to how they would respond. And they said, Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi, wa barakatuh. Allah says, this is the salam of yourself and your entire progeny. Tahiyyatan min indillah, it is a greeting from Allah, mubarakah, blessed, tayyiba. There was one Sahabi who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he complained of a tree of the neighbor which was coming onto his land and causing him much taklif and problems, difficulties. Of course, the leaves falling, it was a date tree. The dates falling, it did not belong to him, it belonged to the neighbor. The branches, he could not cut off the tree. So he tried desperately with that neighbor to either sell him the tree or do something about it. But that person was adamant. So finally, the Sahabi had to come and lodge his complaint to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in my ha'it, in my garden, there's this tree of the neighbor that's coming right onto my garden and it's causing me a lot of taklif. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls that person and he tells him, bi'ni, sell me that tree. This person says, La, no, I'm not prepared to sell you the tree. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought perhaps he does not want to sell me the tree. He wants to give me this tree as a gift. He says, okay, give me this tree as a gift. He says, La, no. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now realized that he does not want to get rid of this tree. He does not want to sell it. He does not want to give it as a gift. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a terrific deal. He says that sell me this tree in lieu of a tree, in exchange of a tree in Jannah. In lieu of a tree in Jannah. You sell me this tree and I guarantee you a tree, a date tree in Jannah. Even this person did not accept. Ulama explained, he was a new person in Islam, he did not know, understand the adab. Oh, they say he was from the Bedouins, and the Bedouins did not have much ta'lim, education. And therefore you would find sometimes that Bedouin comes into the masjid and he is urinating. He did not know what was tahara, until Rasulullah had to teach him what was tahara. A Bedouin one comes, once he comes to Rasulullah from a distance, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, shouting on the top of his voice. Sahaba, see, look at him with big eyes. Don't you know who you're talking to? So they had to be educated. And probably this person was overwhelmed with anger. So he refused. Now what was the response? What did Rasulullah say to him? And this is our message today. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ الَّذِي هُوَ أَبْخَلُ مِنْكَ. I haven't seen a person who is a bigger miser than yourself. إِلَّا الَّذِي يَبْخُلُ بِالسَّلَامِ. Besides the one who mises with salam. I have not seen any person who is a greater miser than yourself, that I am prepared to give you a tree in Jannah. And still you're not prepared to sell me or give me this tree. So you're a great miser. I haven't seen anybody a bigger miser than yourself, except that person who mises with making salam to others. Now can we understand then the importance of making salam and giving jawab? Yes, the etiquettes. The etiquettes. Rasulullah, when he would enter his home at night, Sahaba say, family people say, that we used to sometimes keep the milk for Rasulullah and we should retire to bed, because sometimes Rasulullah would come very late at night and we had his milk ready for him. But when Rasulullah would enter the home, he would make salam in such a manner, La yusmi'un na'im, the one who was fast asleep will not be awakened by the sound of salam. In other words, he wouldn't come scream and
loudly, Assalamu alaikum, at the top of his voice. No. But those who were awake, they would hear the salam. It was audible enough for those who were awake to hear, and those who were asleep would not hear that salam. Sometimes a person is engrossed in dua. Sometimes a person is engrossed in tilawat. He's busy giving a talk. People are sitting around him. He's busy discussing something. A person is partaking of his meals. Then these are occasions when we should not make salam to the person. Now this is adab etiquette. The man is engrossed in tilawat, did not make salam to him. Yes, wait for him to complete his tilawat. He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not interrupt. A person is busy discussing some mas'ala. There's an important discussion that's taking place. And suddenly somebody comes in and then makes salam. That's not the right time to make salam. So there are etiquettes. Sometimes a person is low and down. Really, he does not mean to hurt any person. He's serious. He's depressed. He's not well. He's in a different world, as we say. And perhaps you made salam to him. He did not realize you made salam to him. It happens many times. So we should not take offense. Have good thoughts about the person. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an occasion when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was in deep thoughts. He was consumed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes by, he makes salam to him. Sayyidina Uthman does not give jawab. And this caused Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala to become upset and angry. So he goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who was the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time. Oh Khalifa, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, look at Uthman. Look at his conduct, his behavior. I make salam to the man, and he does not make jawab. He does not give it, he doesn't reply. Umar Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala immediately summons Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Who are we talking about? Khulafa ar-Rashidun. Ashara Mubashara. Sayyidina Abu Bakr asks him, oh Uthman, what happened? Umar is complaining, he made salam to you, he did not reply. He says, Allah's qasam, I didn't hear any salam. Umar, when did you come? He says, as he came right now, I made salam to you. And you did not give jawab. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is shocked. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala realized that Uthman must have been in deep thoughts. Uthman, what is worrying you? He says, yes. For a few days now I've been pondering, reflecting. I'm very worried that Rasulullah left this world. And I did not ask him, مَا نَجَاتُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, that is ummah. How will this ummah gain salvation in the hereafter? What is the one thing that we are expected to get in our lives and to cling on to be safe in the hereafter? I did not ask him and he's gone. And this is causing me much distress. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq says, oh Uthman, I had asked him the question. So Rasulullah replied to me, he says, oh Abu Bakr, the same words, the same invitation, the same kalima that I had presented to my uncle Abu Talib, and he refused to accept. When my ummah has this kalima in their lives, and they bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they hold on to this kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, then they will gain salvation in the hereafter. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala jumped up. He was overjoyed. Because the Sahaba were concerned about the hereafter. And Abu Bakr radiallahu had asked this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this we understand, from this incident, the importance of salam. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala could have ignored it. But he took offense because he said that Uthman did not reply. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala once, two Sahaba, young Sahaba, Salman Farsi was a very elderly Sahabi. They visit him. They are sent by another Sahabi, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Darda and Salman Farsi were bosom friends in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they ask him, it's a long incident. They said, are you Salman Farsi? He said, yes. Are you the Sahabi of Rasulullah? He says, I'm not sure. Now they are put in doubt. What do you mean? He says, well, the Sahaba were those who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they passed on. They are gone, they have accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am still living, I do not know what is going to be my fate and condition. Nevertheless, I am the same Salman who you are referring, and who you are talking about. He says, who has sent you? He says, Abu Darda. So he says, where is my gift? He said, no gift. He said, no gift. Salman Farsi says, definitely he has sent a gift. Where is my gift? Now they begin to promise and take oaths that he gave no gift to give you. And they say, the only thing the man told us is that there is a certain sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of such a caliber that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would meet him alone, he would not like any other companion to join in. He would like to enjoy this Salman Farsi, to be all alone with him. When you meet him, convey my salam to him. Salman Farsi says, that's the gift I'm talking to you about. That's the gift I was waiting for. Can there be any other precious, more precious gift than the gift of salam? Therefore, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna awla an-nasi billah man bada'a bis-salam. The person who is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who commences making salam. He does not wait for his Muslim brother to make salam. He makes salam first. Salam mein pehel karta hai. Al-badi'u bis-salam bari'u min al-kibr. The one who commences makes salam first, then he is free from pride. Why? He does not wait for the other person. I am such a wealthy person. Or I am an alim. And I am a mufti. He must make salam to me. No. The etiquette is, yes, a person should make salam, a young person to an elderly person. But you find in the teachings and the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sees some youngsters, Rasulullah sallam goes up to them and he makes salam to them first. Once he is seated, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi comes, assalamu alaikum. Maybe some replies and he says 10. Another person comes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Maybe some replies, he says 20. Third person comes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasul replies, and then he says 30. He explained to Sahaba that the first man just meant assalamu alaikum. I gave jawab, and he's got 10 thawab for it. 10 rewards just for making assalamu alaikum. Second person added wa rahmatullah. So for him, he gets another 10 thawab, he gets 20 thawab. The third person, wa barakatuhu, also he mentions. Till here is the words of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the full salam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So he gets 30 sawab. May Allah Ta'ala help us. It's a very simple deed. Let us try and practice it, inshallah. We will forget sometimes. We'll remind one another. But don't wait for the occasion to catch your Muslim brother and say, you're not making salam. Well, I made salam to you. Think, sometimes he may be under some stress. He may be depressed. He may be some worry. You should be concerned about that. But let us start spreading salam, inshallah. This will create muhabbat, unity. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah says, Ya bunayya, O my beloved son, when you enter your home, fasallim ala ahlik, yakun barakatan alayka wa ala ahlik. If you make salam when you enter home, it'll be barakah for you, barakah, blessings for you and for your family members. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.